Hey, last week we started this new series called Draw Me Close, and we're doing this on purpose. We do everything on purpose here, just so you know. Like, we're doing it on some purpose. We're going to do this a whole series on the vision and the vision statement. And if we're going to talk about where we're going as a church, we have to understand where our support is, right? And so we're reframing this thing called our identity in Christ. We're reframing who we are. And so last week, if you weren't here, I left these up just as a reminder that those of you that were here last week, that we left them here, all right? And so I had people write down what they find their identity in, right? We find our identity in our job oftentimes. Who are you? I'm Jeff, I'm a pastor, da-da-da-da-da. Or I'm a dad, I'm a father, I'm a husband, whatever it is. And those are good, but they're not our true identity. That comes out of our true identity. And our true identity that I framed last week is in Christ Jesus, right? And then there's identities that we give ourselves that I had some of you write down. And I went through this week, and I just read through these, and I prayed, and I just sat here for almost an hour the other day just praying for all of you, just so you know, because I love you. Yeah. You know, there you go. But there's some identities that we give ourselves, right? We're not good enough. We're unworthy. We're not loved. The shame stuff. We give those selves. We say those things, and we own them as a badge of who we are. And that's not who you are. That's not who you are. So we wanted to reframe this whole thing of who you are in Christ as we move forward. I wanted this to sit. And so I'm doing three sermons on the same thing. Because this is what I heard last time. Okay, that was good, Pastor Jeff. I just need a little bit more. No. I need you to understand what I said. I need you to get this piece. Because if we get this out of context, then we're doing it out of our own strength. If we get it out of context. We can do all, like everything that Heather just said to you, prayer, reading the Bible, going to church. We can take those completely out of context and own them apart from a relationship with Christ. Yes, we can. And so we want to reframe all this for you, that it all starts in our relationship with the God of the universe. So we're in Hebrews chapter 10 this week. And this is a feast. This is like a meal. All right? And I'm going to do it a tad bit of justice. And then you're going to need to go home this week and read it over a couple more times and go, wow, he was way off. Or, wow, this is so good. I need to chew on this a little bit more. I need to ingest this, percolate in, make me grow. So we're in Hebrews chapter 10 this week. And in order to talk about this, the first line in here, in verse 1, I'm going to read it, and then I want to stop and explain it. And then we'll keep going. But in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 10, if you don't have a Bible with you, we got Bibles in front of you. It's page 1167. I did the work for you. You don't have to know the address. Find the number. Get on it. This is what it says. The law is only a shadow of good things that are to come, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. The law, the working out of a relationship with God, is just a shadow of what it really means to have a relationship with Christ. And to explain what a shadow looks like, I want to talk about food with you this morning, because I like to cook. How many of you like mashed potatoes? You like mashed potatoes? All right, I have made some mashed potatoes, and they are downstairs, and you want them, trust me. I work hard at my mashed potatoes. How many of you have ever had boxed mashed potatoes before? Exactly, thank you. I was really worried about this. I was really worried, like, that some of you would be like, yes, I love boxed mashed potatoes. No, they chip them up, dry them out, put them in a box for who knows how long, and then add some water to them. Ta-da! No, to make a good mashed potato. Yes. You got to soak those things, get all the crud off of them, right? You know what I'm talking about. You get all the crud off, and then you scrape them, and you get this nice, white, golden awesomeness. right? Then you cube that thing up. I like to cube them really small because then they cook quicker, but then you let that permeate a little bit until they're just soft. I mean, you're sensing it right now in your mind. You're like, all right, shut up. Let's go downstairs. And you're boiling those things down until you touch them with a fork and they're like, you drain them out, you put them back in the bowl, and you whip that thing up, right? And then I always like to kick things up a little bit of a notch, right? So I put a whole container of sour cream in them. Come on now. Preach it. Then I know some of you, like I already had somebody tell me, all right, you lost me. Trust me, I have a kid who will not eat dairy, but he loves my mashed potatoes. Then what I do is I take a half a stick of cream cheese and I cube that up and I chuck that in. What? Come on and give him some praise. Woo! And you blend that up and then you put some garlic and some onion powder and some salt and you have the happiest mashed potatoes ever. A box of mashed potatoes or the Happy Happies? What would you want? The Happy Happies. So when we're trying to do this thing and be good and great and accomplish, it's like a box of mashed potatoes. And Christ has something so much more for you with all good and natural ingredients. No preservatives. None of that preservative things that make it sit on a shelf for 10 years and still be good. Fresh. Good. That's what he wants for you. Oh, come on. He wants you to have the good mashed potatoes. He does. That'll preach. All right, let's keep going. Because I'm just telling you right now, I'm not even going to do this justice this morning. I'm just not. Because, like, even that, this doesn't even compare, right? So we're reading through this thing. And it says the law is only a shadow. When you're working this thing out, it's only a shadow of the goodness that Christ wants to give you. In verse 2, if it could, would they not have stopped being offered, talking about these sacrifices to make themselves good before the God of the universe, for the worshipers who would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have guilt for their sins, but those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offering and sin offerings, you were not pleased. I don't know if you have a relationship with this Jesus that I'm talking about or not. But this is a message for if you don't yet and if you do now. God, as he prepared a way for us to have a relationship with the God of the universe so that we can understand who we are in Christ, sent his son to die for you and for me. And living in this life, trying to be good, is tiresome. Man, it is tiresome. If you have not yet made a relationship, have a relationship with Christ Jesus, you know what I'm talking about. It is so difficult to be good. It is so difficult to love that person that cuts you off or that coworker who's a jerk. It's tiresome. You just want to come home and take a nap. Christ has something so much more that he wants for you. It says these sacrifices that the Israelites made year after year were a constant reminder of sin. This is what I read into this, and maybe this is just me. But if you go to church as a way to balance out the scales of what you've done during the week, or church has become a constant reminder of how much you miss the mark. Or if you came here this morning to ease your conscience, the God of the universe has so much more for you. Jesus has so much more for you. It does not have to be like that. It doesn't. Another parallel. I like baseball. I'm a baseball fan. Have we got some baseball fans in here? All right. Do you like sports? Like, all right. Should have stuck with the mashed potatoes. Like, there is a difference, right? There is a difference between watching a sports game on TV and being there. It's just completely different, right? I was at Nyack College watching the men's soccer team win on Wednesday. Woo! Dude, I could listen to that on the radio. I could watch it on TV. It does not compare. It does not compare to when somebody gets a goal and they're like, and you're there. We were babysitting my niece, and she's sitting, and she's going, gah, 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 gah. There is just a difference, right? I'm a Mets fan. Dude, don't be haters. Don't be haters. It's been a long time. It's been a long time coming. And there is, I know we lost yesterday, but it will be a different story tonight. Different story. There is a difference. There is such a difference between watching that game on TV and sitting in those stands and hearing Wilmer Flores. Wilmer Flores. It is a completely different feel. It's a different feel. And when we talk about God, when we talk about all the good things that God can do, and we don't know him or allow him to be known in our lives, it's like watching it on TV versus the being there. And I want you to be there this morning. I don't want you to catch a glimpse or a shadow or a picture that is not right. I want you to be there and know what it's like when the God of the universe comes into your heart, mind, and soul, and this world in all its difficulties and all its challenges becomes less laborsome because the King is guiding you. Woo! Come on. Let's keep going. Because I haven't got to the meat yet. This is crazy. Verse 7. Then I said, here I am, and it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am. I come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And it's by that will that we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Once and for all. You can clap. That's all right. It's good. It's a good word. And this is what it was. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifice which will never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Oh, my goodness. This was the picture. God established a law for the Israelites to follow until Christ came. And it was just a shadow of Christ to come. And year after year in the temple, there was this place called the Holy of Holies. And there was this monstrous curtain in front of it, 60 feet high, 4 inches thick, this thing was. And once a year, the priest was allowed to enter in. Why? Because Christ, God himself, would come down in the Holy of Holies and manifest himself. His goodness, his holiness, his greatness, everything all-encompassing about God would come down. And we, as unholy people, once a year, they would do this sacrifice, and then they could go in and offer it to God. And if they didn't do it just right, you're dead. Year after year, they would have to do this, and it would not last. But thanks be to God, Jesus comes down in human form, God in human form, to be the priest once and for all, the sacrifice once and for all, so that now no longer do you have to come every year to be good, or every Sunday in a church building to be good. Christ has done it once and for all. Once and for all. That is the foundation upon all that we do and say. Right? Whew. So just a question, right? Just a question this morning as we pause. What are the services, what are the things that we are doing in our lives to try to be good, to be known by people, or to be known more by God? God, look what I'm doing, God. Look what I'm doing. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing that for you. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing that for you. And you know what that is? It's doo-doo. We joke, but it's truth. He wants you to know that he knows you. You. And he wants to be known in and through you. And if that's the starting point, then everything else that we do afterwards is good. But if we flip that, and we're trying, and we're coming, we're serving, we're doing all this kind of stuff to be good, to be great, to do whatever, then we've got it wrong, and you're going to wear yourself out. You just are. Let's keep going. Verse 12, but then this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, and he sat down on the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And we have these contrasts throughout everything that we've read so far. There's a shadow and there's reality. There's an offering and there's Christ. There's all these priests and this priest. And this is what it says. He sat down. Why? Because the sacrifice was finished. It's completed. Not only is it completed, but it's perfect. Not only is it perfect, but it's forever. Jesus came, he saw, he conquered, he got it done, and he sat down and said, now what? To the enemy of your soul. It's done. It's completed. It's time for us to sit in him. I'll keep going. It's like this. How many of you have ever been to the DMV before? Right? I just made you all sad. No. No, for the love of the Lord, please. When I first moved here, I went to the DMV up in West Havistraw, and it is a nightmare. Keith knows what I'm talking about. Keith spent like half his life there. You go there, and you have all your paperwork in order, and you go up to the front, and they're like, denied! And you waste an entire day. They've instituted this new thing. You can go online and register an appointment, and you can show up and get it done in minutes. I kid you not. I had to turn in my plates, and I was dreading this on our vehicle that's not working. I've watched people sit for over an hour just to hand plates in before. I went online, registered, showed up. My appointment was at 9:15. 9:16, I'm walking out the door. I kid you not, West Havistraw. This life that we live in is like the DMV without a registration. It's like the DMV without an appointment. Christ wants to sign you up. He wants to be your appointment. It is laborsome without an appointment, and it is a breeze with one. So sign up and get it done. It keeps going. The Holy Spirit also testifies about this. First, he says, there is one the covenant I will make with them after the time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. So this is truth. The Holy Spirit who comes into you after you receive Christ knows you. He plants all these truths on your minds and your hearts. So it's not just knowledge, it becomes action in your soul. And your sin is remembered no more. Amen? Amen. Woo! Amen. And there is no longer any other sacrifice needed. That is crazy. Because I am not good. I'm not. So this is the call in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the household of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled and cleansed us from a guilty conscience, having bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unwavering to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. This imagery here is so beautiful because this is what happened when Christ died on the cross. That thick, tall, high curtain that blocked humanity from entering into the Holy of Holies with Christ Jesus was torn from the top to the bottom. It was torn in two. And now, because of Christ, you can enter in. You can now enter in. You are not held back any longer. You can enter into a relationship with the God of the universe who wants to love you and lavish you and rain upon you with all his goodness and all his greatness. And then when we sing these words that mercy triumphs judgment, right? And it is well with my soul. And the good, good Father, and we're no longer slaves. All those words that were strategically placed up there this morning for you become reality. And I want them to become reality for you. In verse 24 it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards loving good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more so that we see the day approaching. So this is, take confidence in who you are. This morning, if you've never entered in, enter in. If you don't know what it means to draw near, let the God of the universe draw you near so that your hearts may have full assurance. A couple weeks ago, over Labor Day weekend, we went up to my parents' lake house. And one of the things we love to do up there is we like to go canoeing and kayaking. It's fun. And Sunday morning, I didn't go to a church building to worship God. I went out on the lake with my son Caleb, and we canoed. And if you go one way in the lake, there's a current, and you have to go against the current. So if you come out of our house and you go to the right on the lake, you're going against the current. If you go to the left, you go with the current. And the whole week, we'd go out and we'd go left with the current. Woo, this is great. This is awesome. This is really good. And then you're coming back. And the whole way you're against the current. So Sunday morning, Caleb and I jump in the canoe and we go against the current. And we're rowing. And it's hard. And about halfway to our destination, Caleb gives up and he stops rowing, right? Because it was hard, right? It was hard. And there's a little island there. And when you get around the island, this is where a lot of the boats travel. And you get these really huge waves. And all of a sudden I look at Caleb and he's like terrified because there's these big waves at us. And this is what I know about canoeing. If I let those waves come and hit me from the side, we're going to topple over. And so I turn that canoe and I face it right at the waves. I steer that thing right at the waves and we go full tilt at that thing. And the waves come, and we make it over. And on the way back, it is not laborsome. And I'm canoeing and we coast in. And Caleb is just enjoying life, right? This relationship with Christ is like a really good canoe ride. The waves come and they want to toss you to and fro. And there's some craziness that the God of the universe will stare you right out because he's in control and he understands. He will face those waves head on for you as he steers and he controls. And when you get through them and you're letting him guide and direct you with where you go, it's like coasting. If you came here this morning, you're tired. Man, you're just tired of doing it, of trying to do it. Man, this morning I want you to coast. This morning I want you to rest in Him. This morning I want you to let Him take control of those canoe paddles and bring you to the place that He wants you to. The worship team's going to come back up. And we're going to sing Mercy Over Judgment again because it's truth. And I'll have prayer people up here. And if you just need to talk with some prayer people, if you just need to pray with them, awesome. If you want to come up after the service, they'll stick around. Maybe you just want to let the song just settle in and become truth in your soul. But if you need some prayer, come on down. Maybe you weren't here last week, and there's an identity that you want to put up there. There's still some cards in front of you and some pens. Maybe you want to do that. Whatever it is that you need this morning, we are here for you, and we want to make that happen. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, You are so good, and I haven't even begun to do You justice. But right now, I ask that You would speak to every mind, every heart, every soul, that You would minister to what is needed in and through them, so that they will know that they are Yours and You are theirs. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.